Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Hello and a warm welcome to every one of you out there in pursuit of your transformation and your triumph. I'm Des Hamilton and you're listening once again, if you're returning, to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. If you're here for the first time, you're listening for the first time to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Here is where we unfold the raw, real story of me turning that £200 I snaggled from the joint account into a life-changing £100,000. And not just that, we're building an e-commerce empire that will be the ticket to the fabled financial freedom for my wife and me. I am documenting this journey to show you what is achievable because I am nothing special. I keep saying this time and time again. I have got no special skills. I've got no previous history in building e-commerce businesses, not even a bricks and mortar business. I've got no history of any of this. All I'm doing is implementing my brain, switching on the correct mindset, a growth mindset, and taking action. And we are showing time and time again that it doesn't matter what your background, what your age, what your culture is. If you come into this thing with your eyes open, ready to take small steps and persistent, consistent action, you can truly, truly change your world. And as we get into the second year of my challenge, this is something that I'm going to bang the drum of time and time again. We all talk about which hill are you willing to die on? I am willing to die on this hill. Yes, anybody can do this. And we are going to show example after example after example at you. And not just the successful people that have been on this podcast, not just the people that are coming into our Facebook group that are already established 6, 7, 8 figure Amazon sellers. I want to talk about the people that have joined the Facebook group and are starting out. I'm just going to throw a couple of names at you here. I'll try and keep them as anonymous as possible. But we had Alex, who started in September, started selling on Amazon in September. And in mid-December, 2 days ago from this going out, he had already hit £1,000 in sales in this month alone. Nigel and his mate started 4 to 5 months ago. They hit £1,000 sales in one day this week, and they're heading for a 10K sales month. Or Russ, who started in June, he's skyrocketed his stats in September. He's hit 10K in sales this week. Or Kai, who hit the 10K mark within a 30-day time window last week. Or Kirsty and Adam, who hit the monster 100K early in December, having started in March. I can go on and on about this. Vicky is unreal. She'd been going solely on used books, taking about £2,000 in sales with an insane ROI and five-star reviews from her account. She's now getting into OA and she's growing her business. I've not even talked about Darren or Matt or Dean or Jamie. The show isn't long enough to carry on doing this, but rest assured I am going to be going on more and more about these people as we get better and better results from people changing their lives through taking action. Now, the numbers I've given you, look, I've drawn out those people on purpose because they're easy round numbers and they're easy headlines, but not one of those can be compared to the other. We talk about sales, yes, because it's a metric. And there aren't many metrics we can go on here. And what we do in the Facebook community is we're very conscious of sharing too much, but we do celebrate the effort. Their goals are different to mine. I started with £200. These people may have started with more. So when we say, yes, I've got £100,000 in sales, we don't know how much stock they've put in. So it's unfair for you to then go, you know what, I need to follow that person's path. Because when you quantify it like that, it's impossible for you. Because we don't know how much time you may have. We don't know how much money you may have. And if you haven't got much time and you haven't got much money, it's going to take you an awful lot longer. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's no different in many, many regards to a weight loss journey. And I've been on a few of those. Just because someone runs faster than you or lifts heavier than you doesn't mean that you shouldn't. But here we're talking about money, we're talking about financial freedom, we're talking about escaping from the rat race, getting away from working for the man. And who cares if it takes you 5 years? Who cares if you're like Andy Dufresne in The Shawshank Redemption, clawing his way through a wall with a little spoon? It doesn't matter how long it takes you. As long as you know your destination, and as long as you have mapped out your journey to get you to that destination, no one should tell you how long it should take you. No one should tell you how many hours you put into it if you've got 4 children, for example, and a full-time job. It's entirely up to you. But when you take action, when you take whatever time you've got spare, whatever money you've got spare, and you put it into something consistently with the correct mindset, you watch that money grow. And when you reinvest and watch that grow, reinvest and watch that grow. And time again, we are seeing it in real time. And you can use me as an example. You can come onto the Facebook group. All of those people that I read out, they are real people. You can take their example. You can find someone who's similar in terms of time scale and money to you and follow their example. But what more do you need to see to show you what's achievable? What more do you need for you to go, you know what? Let's give this a go in 2024. That's my soapbox for today. I'm not going to labour on this point too much because, quite frankly, I only planned for about 2 minutes of this, but I got quite passionate about it and I felt, you know what? I'm not going to stop. Let's get into the second part of the Helena DiBiase interview. We finished it last week as we were talking about how Helena had identified AI, artificial intelligence, the birth of this AI beast in the digital age, as a means for her to make money because it was something that she had implemented successfully in her personal life. She found a thing that she was an expert in that she knew would benefit people and provide value to their lives. We paused it at that point. So let's get into it. See you on the other side. Roll it. When you're driving a business using your socials as an underpinning factor, you end up making money just by being you and just by using what it is you've learned along the way in your life. I started as an Amazon seller, but I'm making the majority of my income streams are now based on me being me, which is weird. It's nothing that I saw coming either.
But it's great. Like, perfect. Like, that's where you want to get to. And I think that's a really interesting thing to talk about is people get really offended when you make money from what you know, because they're like, oh, you're just selling a course. And I can guarantee you've seen it. I've seen it where people are like, you're making it and now you're going to. And I'm like, okay, well, let's not bash courses or passive income where you're learning something. I am teaching, you know, it's a value exchange. And I think courses in particular get a really, really bad rap.
Oh my God.
And I really don't think there's anything wrong with them, as long as you're buying something from someone who knows what they're actually doing or is taking you to a place, you know, they might not, you don't need to be a complete expert, but they're taking you from where you are now to where they are. And that's where, you know, that's where you want to be. And you're like, yeah, great. Teach me the thing. I pay for courses all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. And I've been doing this for a really long time, like as in running businesses for a really long time. So, but I still buy regular, I put them down as kind of continuous professional development, which you get as training if you have a full-time job.
Yeah, I do in my day job.
You've got to learn how to do some of this stuff. And I think one of the best courses that I've ever bought that I've paid an insane amount of money for, but I've actually never used, but I don't regret it at all, is Part-Time YouTuber Academy by Ali Abdal. So I paid an obscene amount of money for this. I think £1,500, maybe even more for it, coming up for 2 years ago, because I was like, I need to learn about content creation and learning how to structure content and talk about what I do. And I do a lot of, or I did when I was at work and not on maternity leave, I did a lot of talks about entrepreneurship and about investment and that kind of thing. And I very much saw that as this is training, teaching me how to talk about something or how to come up with ideas for content and the whole framework. So I don't have a YouTube channel. I've tried to start one several times, but I do not regret buying that course. And that was a passive income course product that for him, really smart as a medical doctor, he started out teaching people how to pass medical exams. And then he built a massive YouTube following and was like, right, great. I'm going to teach you how to build a YouTube channel on the side. And that kind of, you know, I don't ever see anything wrong with that kind of
business model at all. Absolutely not. And it all comes back to how do you expect to learn something new? In you learn a job, you learn a language, you learn a musical instrument. Yes, you can learn it by yourself, but you need to give yourself an extra couple of years. Well, if you have got the money, why not buy something to drastically shorten the time it takes for you to learn it?
Exactly.
It's incredible. I'm lucky that my day job paid for me to take a training course. So I am a trainer. So it's one of those, how can you sell a course? Well, that's my actual job. I train people. That's how I sell a course. I'm currently in a content creators group, a community that gives us feedback on all of this sort of stuff. I've bought books on how to tell a story in your socials to increase your brand. Everything's kind of got a thought process behind it, doesn't it?
Really? Yeah.
But no, I completely agree. I try and engage with people that say, oh, it's such a shame you've gone down the course selling route. And I try and engage and say, can you tell me what's wrong with that? And usually they ignore the question, come out of a load of old nonsense, so they end up getting blocked. And it's a shame because I really want to engage with someone to figure out why is there's this, I don't know, horrible sort of narrative around selling courses when you need to put the onus back on yourself as a consumer. If you're buying a course, you need to ask yourself, what is it you know about everything before you lay money out, right? You need to go into it with your eyes open. Otherwise, you're going to get stitched up. And then, yes, you can blame the scammer. But if you haven't asked them what the objective of the course is, isn't that a problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there are some, like everything, you've got to be careful what you buy and understand what you're getting into and be like, does this person actually know what they're talking about? And I'm not personally an advocate for buying a course to sell that course because I'm like, you don't know enough about the thing to do that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with people who create courses or content, and we were using courses as a catch-all term, but whether that's a template or a framework or a masterclass or a pre-recorded webinar, teaching people something that they want to know that you know how to do, that is a great business model because you're selling your knowledge to people who want to know the thing that you know that can stop them making lots of very expensive mistakes and that's or costly, you know. And that's not just in business, right? Like I used this example before, but I had a C-section recently. I bought 3 or 4 online courses about C-section recovery. I'm doing one right now on like fitness recovery from having a C-section because, I wanted to know how to give my body the best possible chance of recovering from a major operation.
A major surgery,
I've bought 3 courses from 3 different midwives but that's like a perfect example of something that's, you know, not related to business at all, but there is a market for people wanting to know how to do that thing. I know someone else on Instagram who sells just generally talking about digital products and people monetizing their knowledge. She sells a guide to Disney. She lives in Florida. She sells a guide to Disney World. She's got 4 kids. She goes to Disneyland all the time. And she sells like a $27 guide, predominantly to people from Europe who are going to Disney. And it's like, these are the hotels to stay in. This is what to do about a buggy. But this is how far to go. This is the route you're going to take around. If you want to see this, if you want to see that. And I'm like, I am not taking my kids to Disney anytime soon, especially because I've got a 9-week-old. But if I was, I would be buying her guide to Disney because I am not going without knowing where the toilets are and how to get to this place the fastest.
Yeah, exactly. So, how to park easily. Yeah,
exactly. You can make a lot of money from selling your knowledge and what you know about any kind of subject, as long as you know what you're actually talking about.
Definitely. And again, it goes full circle when we were talking back to AI. Anyone that's I know from the course that I created, if it wasn't for AI, I'd still be writing it. It saves so much stress, saves so much time. It just makes you a much more effective, efficient version of yourself, doesn't it? If you do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, I've bought ebooks. Yours isn't the only one. You've got the AI Surfer. This guy's awesome. I bought his book and it's all about putting the right prompt in for the right things.
Yeah.
And it's not just in business, it's in life. I use it in my life. Talk us through how you're balancing. You must be spinning so many plates, and that's not even with the 9-week-old. You must be run off your feet. How are you implementing all of your habits to make you as efficient as you can be?
I automate absolutely everything. So how I approach managing all of the stuff and have, you know, making income online whilst also having, you know, my hand in various other different businesses, having a full-time job and now actually, you know, making money whilst I'm on maternity leave, which before people come for me, yes, is legal. There's nothing wrong with making money while you're on mat leave. It's nothing too complicated, if I'm honest, is writing out all of the things that need to happen. And then I sit and I'm like, can this be automated? Can I automate this? Is there a workflow that will make this faster? And then once it's built, that's it. Don't need to, I can check on it and look at it, but it's running for me in the background. So I'll take a couple of examples. One from my personal life. My son is 4. He will start school next year. And we had his school timetable come out, and he's at a nursery that's attached to the school that he will go to in September. Right. School timetable come out. I have got a plug-in from an RSS feed from his school website that when the school term dates come up, automatically goes into Zapier, automatically goes to my calendar, my husband's calendar, and it blocks out all of the school term dates a year in advance. So I know what we are doing in 2025, when the term dates are, when the inset days are, and it did it just from the website being there. That's not a difficult thing to set up. Anyone can do it. I'm using a couple of bits of very easy software. I am not a tech expert, but I know how to ask it to do the right thing. Then we also have prompts for things like in 6 weeks' time, or actually now in 3 weeks' time, it's my mother-in-law's birthday. And I hit a button in Notion and I get an automatic gift will go to her. Like just tiny things like that, which I spent time setting up initially when I think about what is the mental load of stuff that's happening in my day-to-day life, then how can I automate as much of that as possible so I don't forget things? And I still do, you know, unfortunately, I can't automate the washing of my son's school uniform. So today he went in last year's school uniform that is too small for him. But, you know, we move. And then when it comes to work and sales, again, absolutely everything is automated, and it gets more and more sophisticated over time. So the basic place of starting was having a product, having it listed on my website and on my Stand store, having Stand store talk to Klaviyo, which is my software for sending out emails, and then having email sequences that are different for everyone depending on what kind of action you take.
Yeah.
Whether you click this button, whether you open it, if you don't open it, how long you didn't open it for, whether or not I think you're interested. If you're not engaged anymore, clean you out of my list, because if you're not opening emails, you're gone.
Clutter, yeah.
So all of that is, significant time up front, but then it really, really pays off really significantly once you have set up those systems. And the place to start with setting up those systems is to sit out and write down where are the points of friction. In business, where are the points of friction for you getting a sale or getting a repeat sale? And in your life, where are the things that you're forgetting to do that come up to those things and you're like, I forgot to do that. Surprise, it's half term in 2 weeks. Or you start a new school year and you're like, haha, great. As a parent, things that are important to me are, do I know when all the kids' birthdays are? Mm. When are all the kids' birthday parties happening?
Mm.
You know, that's very niche and specific to working parents, but you know, how can I keep up with those? How can I keep up with all of that stuff? So how I do it all is the internet does it for me.
So you use Zapier as a big tool for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's, am I right in thinking that's similar to the IFTTT, like if that happens, then do that. And you've just got to set up the workflows.
Yes, exactly. And you can now ask Zapier as AI, you say, if this happens, I want this to be the outcome. So you could ask Zapier and it will say, okay, great, we need to connect this and this and this, and then it'll, and then you just look at it and you're like, yep, that's what I want to happen, and you can test it, and that's how it works. So you don't need to worry too much about knowing all of the different things that you want to plug in, because you can now ask Zapier, or you could ask ChatGPT, I want this to happen. What would I need to do to make that?
Right, an awful lot easier, isn't it? But it's interesting what you were saying, that you need to put your time into it early days to set it all up. It really has struck home for me since I've been doing this new business. Well, not new business, my only business that I've had to actually function myself. Time is as much a commodity as money. It really is.
Yeah.
And if you can invest time in something that will save you God knows how many hours. So, yeah. And I can see it. If you, even if you start off and your first prompt is fairly rudimentary, it's there. And then all you got to do is tweak it, right? It makes it just a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can always make more money. You can never make more time. So if you want to make more cash, make more time for yourself. What are you spending your time doing? And having a really, really conscious understanding of how you spend your time is the best thing, because then you can understand how to save it. Whereas if you've got no awareness, it's a bit like when people start to manage their money more efficiently and they're like, why have I got no money? And then they're like, well, I don't actually know what I spend in a month, or I've got no idea how much we spend on a food shop, for example. Well, you can't manage what you don't monitor. You can't manage what you don't measure. So if you spend a week just measuring your time of where are you spending a lot of your time doing something that you're like, well, that didn't, in business for me, I'm like, well, that didn't make me any money. That's the bit to start. And then you start looking and chipping away at, well, you can automate this and you can automate this. And, you know, that makes it much easier. And that's how you can save time. And honestly, that is the only way I have been able to do this and make so much money whilst already having a job and having a baby. If I had not done that, I couldn't have started a product business, for example, where I was then shipping things and going out to a post office and shipping orders or dealing with returns or dealing with customer service. For me and my personal circumstances, I needed to create something that could be on autopilot.
Yeah.
So
there's so much merit in that. That's honestly, Helena, that's amazing. You're so inspiring. It's enough for me to go away and go, right, I'm going to have another look at Notion. It's because from my world, I've got my set hours in my day job. So it's, I can definitely do more to make my time more efficient. Definitely. Mm-hmm. But you're right, with a product thing, with scanning down in Lidl, you need to account for that. You do. So what I do is at the end of every day, I plan my next day to the minute. So I know exactly where I'm dealing. But it's a very manual process. I am sure there's more automation that I can use to make that a lot easier. But that's a different thing. So with that in mind, you've set up income streams that we can define them as passive, with inverted commas, for anyone that's watching. Talk us through how you have gone that way and what your notion is of passive income. And I want to sort of caveat this. The reason I chose Amazon FBA is because once I find the products and send it in, that's as passive as it gets for me in a physical product sense. The only work that I do daily is things like pricing strategy, going through and just checking what competition are doing, what's happening to my listings, blah, 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 blah. But it's as passive as I can make it, which isn't very passive. So, but you doing what you do, and of course, setting up automation, it makes life a lot easier. So, yeah, talk us through your mindset, your methodology and things like that.
So passive income, again, is another thing that I think gets a bad reputation on the internet, because nothing is truly completely passive, right? Apart from, you know, there's a couple of streams of income that are passive for you once you have done them, once you've set them up. And those are things like rental income and dividend income if you invest in a business, or income from investment returns, right? But when you're selling something online or you're creating a digital business, then yes, you have to put in the donkey work to begin with to set something up for it to become as passive as you can possibly make it. And then you have to keep an eye on it. You can't just set something up and then be like, I'm never going to look at that ever again. Especially with, you know, products, they've got to be updated. You've got to look at your marketing strategy. How are they selling? Are people dropping off? And it's more looking at the data of what a customer is doing. You know, is your email flow no longer converting? Is one email flow converting better than the other? That you can make tweaks and adapt them. But really, passive income is about setting something up where for a decent period of time, you don't have to do anything in order to make sales. For a product-based for a product-based business, oftentimes that's got the physical product or you've had it manufactured, so you've got it sitting there, and now your active part of your business is the marketing. That's the same with a digital product. You create it, and then you're active in the fact that you need to actually sell it.
Yeah.
What I have done over the last, or I focused on this very much in the summer when I knew that come the middle of September, I could have a baby at any point in time. So I knew that by that point was my cutoff of, I've got to have this, all of it, as automated as I can possibly make it, because I can't even actively market. You know, I'm not going to be filming really TikTok videos or anything like that. I'm not going to be sending out any new emails. Like, there is very little that is happening now for me in real time. A lot of my content is pre-recorded, and you can tell lots of my videos now come out of sequence, and it's like, oh, she's, it's a lot like the, you know, the lighting is different. We live in the UK and I live in Scotland, and the lighting is, so you can tell just from the light outside my window whether or not I filmed it in, you know, after September or not. Because I was like, I need to get things set up so that I can make money whilst I have a baby. So I pre-recorded a lot of content, and I used a lot of AI to decide what that content would be and what my audience was responding best to, and helped me make a plan for what needed to happen to be able to continue to make money whilst doing the truest form of passive income, which is to do nothing and still make, make money.
No, it's amazing. So you almost had the 2023 version of nesting in the digital age, didn't you? Really?
Exactly.
So you weren't cleaning the cupboards; you were making content.
I was making content, and I think that's the way I would look at it for people trying to replicate something similar. Is for me, I was very like, you, when you're pregnant, you've got a time bomb coming of a baby that gives you this deadline, right? Yeah. And I feel so fortunate, obviously, not just to have a new child, which I'm obviously very grateful and thankful for. But from a business sense, I was like, this is great, because what a motivator that is to be like, you have got this enforced deadline of then not just having this challenge that I'd set myself, that really nobody cares on the internet if you hit it or not. Nobody would have cared if it had fallen into obscurity and I'd never come back to it. So what? Doesn't matter. But having a baby and having this enforced deadline of when I needed to achieve something by has 100% helped in my ability to make money and to think smarter, because I was like, this is the cutoff. And that's why I think sometimes having, you know, extreme income goals, or the necessity of an income goal, or a deadline like mine with being pregnant, is no bad thing, because it's amazing what you can do when you've got to do it by that point in time.
Yeah, exactly right. And what validation as well, when you can go, this is passive income. They go, prove it. Well, it is a baby that I grew. You know, it's the best validation ever.
I've done nothing. Yesterday I watched It's a Wonderful Life, and I went for a coffee and I made 1500 quid.
Oh,
and I'm like, that is,
if nothing
mad.
Else, it's the best film ever as well. If nothing else.
Yeah.
I can only dream. That's coming for me. Don't get me wrong, but I reckon
it is.
That'll happen. Let's talk challenges. And I'm saying this fully aware that you are an experienced entrepreneur. It's been in your blood for God knows how long. What sort of challenges did this challenge throw up that you may not have seen coming?
Maybe not what I didn't see coming, but the hardest thing that I have found is, even though I have remained consistent with doing it, is hard. It is mentally difficult to do. So just because I've done it doesn't mean it was easy. I definitely found staying consistent with content creation was hard. Staying consistent with putting in the work before I set up things that were passive, when I was very pregnant, knackered and sick.
Yeah.
Those are hard yards that everyone's got to do, that you don't get to skip a step. And just because I have run businesses before, I was no different. I didn't get to skip the steps of, you know, the heart of working out product market fit was difficult. Coming to terms with the fact that I wasn't going to run this, if I wanted to be successful in the financial challenge, that I wasn't going to be able to start the side hustle creative business that I had in my head at the start of the challenge. You know, I really thought physical products were going to be it. Or weirdly, Christmas trees, but that's a separate thing, because I've got it in my head that Christmas tree businesses are extremely lucrative. And that was actually one of the catalysts this time last year. There's a Christmas tree business at the end of my street. And every year I'm like, they must be raking it in. It's 80, 90, 120 quid a tree. I live in Scotland. There's loads of trees here. Like there's got to be, and honestly, that is the kind of side hustle business that I really thought I was going to be in. Something so...
We see it down here in the Laybys. The cars are queuing up, man, for these Christmas trees. It's relentless. And in the summertime, down in Brighton, deck chairs. Deck chairs in the summer, Christmas trees in the winter. Incredible.
Yeah, the other business idea that is still something that my husband and I are like, my husband's an entrepreneur as well, and we love an extra income stream, just in case something falls down somewhere else, right? And we may do this, so there's plenty of room for everyone, though, so I really don't care if you steal this idea, is kids party stuff, like inflatables. There's one of my friends hired out like a soft play that they come around to your house and they put in like a kid's soft play thing in a room. Like they must be massively raking, and you just need to buy obviously your original soft play stuff and have somewhere to store it, and then have someone that can take it to of the events. But
it's amazing.
Like...
Just on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we had Natalie Cromie on, and she said when she was transitioning from, she had a physical product store and then transitioned to Amazon. In the meantime, she and her husband had a serious chat about inflatables, exactly that, about a bouncy castle business. I think you're right. We went to a trampoline park. My God, polluted. Oh, but then like 2 days later, I found out there was a story somewhere up north where kids were getting injured. Well, maybe not.
You're like, we're not doing that anymore. I think that was one of the most difficult things, were like mentally around coming to terms very quickly with something not working, because again, my day job tells me stick to it for long enough before you have validated that it definitely doesn't work. But because I gave myself a 12-month deadline and then I gave myself a much shorter deadline, I was like, I need to give this bit up if my real goal is to try and make the financial thing work. So I definitely found that difficult to come to terms with, and difficult to stay consistent with the content creation. And I think the other thing that I have found challenging, which I both was and wasn't expecting, you know, when you do something online and you put yourself out there, you do open yourself up to a certain number of trolls and commenters and all of that kind of thing. And that's hard to take over time.
Yeah.
When people think they know something because they have seen something on the internet, and you're just like, oh, it doesn't really work like that. Or and it's, you know, they're not for me now. I put lots of disclaimers on things because I got so sick of the number of DMs and the number of messages I would get around, I don't believe you, do HMRC. No, people have reported me to HMRC for making money. And I have, and then I've spoken to HMRC about it, and I'm like, you know about this, I'm paying tax on it. And they're like, oh, we're just checking this. That happens. People report. And I'm like, but, you know, bring it on. Like, you knock yourself out. You know exactly what's happening. So it's things like that's hard to take when people don't believe you. For me, I think that's really difficult because I'm like, why don't you believe me? And that's more of a personal attack on someone where thinking, well, you don't believe that this is a reality. Which I kind of understand because there is a lot of crap on the internet. But that was difficult to separate myself from, and then change it to think perspective to thinking, well, that's people's default position because there is actually quite a lot of people who do lie about this stuff on the internet. Yeah. So why should they believe you? Which is why I'm much more like, and I put a little red box on pretty much every video now. Yes, HMRC, no. Yes, I pay tax on this. And I started screenshotting my bank statements because, again, I was putting numbers in a spreadsheet and people, I don't believe you. Well, okay, here's the bank statement. So that was hard, and I wasn't expecting to document it in such a, I would hope, sorry, that's my dog, an open way, and then still have people question it, and that was difficult.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. I don't think enough people talk about this. It's hard. It is hard. And you do get scared when you're launching a new product. You do get your insecurities playing out if you stop and think about it too much. And exactly yeah. that, the comments, you get the trolls. Yes, you get the trolls. But then sometimes someone will say something without knowing that actually plays into your insecurities and you think, oh, I don't like that one. You know, it just,
yeah,
it is difficult. I completely agree. And I'm the same. I've gone the other way. I don't provide any validation into my numbers because when I have tried doing that, it's just opened up more horrible comments. And I thought, you know what? I can't be bothered. If you don't believe me, you don't believe me. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
But just to finish up, anything that you'd like to promote, anything you'd like to share about where we can find you and where we can learn more about what it is you're doing?
Best place to find me is on TikTok. I'm at Start a Business with Me. And in there, you'll see the link in my bio that's got my stand store. It's got everything that my free Start a Business with Me checklist, which is actually the process that I have been through the last 12 months. If you want to do this, and I provide a disclaimer to say this is probably not where you want to start if you want to start a tech company. But if you want to start any kind of business online to make additional money, then this is the process to go through. It works whether you're not, you want to start a product-based business or a digital business or even Amazon FBA, of going through three stages of just getting started, then getting sales, and then getting smart about it. And that is the process that I have been through over the last 12 months of working out what it is that you really want in complete clarity and what's going to work best for you and your lifestyle and how much money it is you want to make, and then validating that and making sales and knowing that actually you've got product market fit and people will buy from you. And then the next layer after that is adding everything on in terms of AI and automations and systemizing things and making it a legit business that you're running. But it's completely for free. You can get it in my TikTok bio. And I think that breaks things down in a bit more detail of this is actually how I did this.
Yeah, great. Great. Lovely. I'll put it all in the show notes. I'll put your TikTok in the show notes. And we'll go from there. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so
Thank
much for your
you,
time.
Thank you, Des. This has been great.
All right. And there we go. Fascinating, isn't it? When we move away from Amazon as a focus in our conversation, and when we talk to Helena, as we talked about, she's not an Amazon seller. What I really valued in that chat were the other things that I personally have been doing that hasn't been Amazon in terms of the income streams that I've been building. Selling knowledge through courses and digital products. Anybody can do this. We've spoken about this before. Paulie, who reached out to me a couple of months ago, she's making £20,000 a month at the moment just on digital courses. From her experience, all of us have got a skill set that we may think is completely irrelevant and unimportant, but use it. Dig within yourself and you think, what can I do that other people can't do? Because there will be something. Now, in order to do that, building your audience through social media is integral if you've got no money to market. Social media as a creator, and I hate that phrase, is free marketing. Every TikTok that I put out there, yes, I'm doing my best to get other people to start, but of course, in the back end, it promotes me. Of course it does. You're building your audience. You're showing people who you are. Helena and I, we spoke before we started recording. We feel like we knew each other just because we followed each other and we share quite a lot about ourselves in our respective posts. But building the audience leads to so many opportunities and so many connections. Do you think I'd be able to do this podcast if it wasn't for the community that I've built? Imagine me ringing up someone like a Natalie Cromie or even a Luke Colwell and saying, hello, I'm just about to start selling on Amazon and I'm going to do a podcast. Do you want to come out and have a chat? They wouldn't, would they? And I wouldn't blame them. I wouldn't either. They don't know who I am, but my audience and my brand and my community, it enables me to reach out to people and have some kudos. But once you've built that up, you can then generate money in a way that may be argued to be passive. Now, I don't see it as passive, and Helena doesn't either, because there's no such thing. You still need to visit it every day and make sure that your processes are in place. And getting to this place is far from passive. I've never worked harder in my life than I did last year for no money. Tip of the week. Challenges are inevitable in life, but particularly in entrepreneurship, because so much of it is a step into the unknown. When you launch a new product, whether it's digital, whether it's physical, whether it's a sale that you are chasing on Amazon, whether it's a new product listing you're creating, it is a leap into the unknown. And there are challenges in that. For me, most of them, as you know, they're all up in my brain. They're my imposter syndrome. You're not good enough. You shouldn't be doing this. It's all going to come crashing down around your ears. Every time I launch something new, those thoughts creep in. But I know what they are. And I know now, through sitting in this chair, speaking to all of the people that I've been lucky enough to speak to, I know that they have those feelings too. And I know it doesn't matter how successful you get, I'm going to continue getting those feelings. And that's all right, because I'm not alone. And the way I know that is through my networking and through my community building, to learn that I'm not alone. Otherwise, I'd be a paranoid wreck just rocking in my chair doing some knitting or something. These challenges are things that you must be aware that are coming, even though you don't know what they are. And you must be aware that you need to embrace them and you need to use them as a mechanism to grow. That is everything, because if you can't grow, you will shrink. And that's not an option, is it? Tip of the week. All right. That's the last show before Christmas. We are on Thursday, which means next Thursday, Christmas would have come and gone. The big man would have been, and I don't mean me. What I'm going to do next week, I'm going to do something a little bit different, because we're in that weird space between Christmas and New Year where days of the week don't exist, neither do diets. And I want to go in depth and tell you the story of my first sale. I want to tell you what made me start this process, my thought process into doing it, how I sourced it, how I purchased it, how long I waited, and everything in between. I want to talk you through that, and I want to have some time to do it. And anyone that's going through this process as a brand new starter or willing to start in the new year, and they want to know what that concept is of getting from where you were as a starter and bringing in your first product, I'm hoping that this story can help you all. That will do it all. If you like what you're listening to, please do the usual things. Leave a comment in whatever platform you're listening to. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Tell if you're part of any other communities, tell other communities. Let's get this going. This truly is my favorite thing that I'm doing in all of this e-commerce stuff. It doesn't earn me a penny, but I don't care, because I know one day it will. But in order to do that, I've got to climb those charts. 53 in the world, by the way, but I still need to go a little bit higher. That would do it. Bring in the music. Come on, bring in Robin. Have a lovely, lovely Christmas to you and your families and everyone that you love and care about. It's the best time of the year. Do your best to enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side. Happy Christmas, everyone. Ta-da.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye, poor. Hello, rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.